I got a couple places I'd like you to go this morning. Ephesians chapter 6 in your Bibles, please. Ephesians chapter 6. And when you get to Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to find Daniel chapter 10. And Daniel chapter 10, and hold your finger in the book of Daniel and in chapter 10. And I want you to look in Ephesians. That's where we're beginning. Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to look in verse 10, beginning chapter 6, verse 10 of Ephesians. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now take your Bibles and just flip over, if you would, to Daniel chapter 10. In Daniel chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 1, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the month, I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude." Now I want you to drop over, if you would, to verse 12, where the man is speaking to Daniel, and he says this, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Below Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. When then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I retain no strength." Now drop down if you would. He talks to him. Then he says, the angel again to Daniel, "Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I came unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, behold, the prince of Grecia shall come." Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us to put all these passages, these verses together this morning, and I pray we would take heed and warning from your word. Lord, we understand things to be true, but so often we tend to forget those things in the middle of living. And because of that, oft times we are taken in a snare. Lord, I pray, Father, this morning that you'd help me to preach, Lord, what you showed me, what you spoke to my heart about in reading my Bible, and may it be a help to every one of us today. May it help that man or woman that doesn't know you as Savior. May it help that saint that is struggling in some area of their life. May it help that husband and wife that are struggling within their marriage or trying to raise the child or children. May it help children, Lord, that are struggling with the ways of this world and the love of this world and the things of this world, and they find themselves in a strait betwixt two, one righteous and one unrighteous, and yet it is a real battle. Lord, help us to identify, Lord, the workings of the devil within our life, even within our own spirit, I pray. And we'll thank you for what you do. Save that soul, as Oliver B. Green used to say. Save that soul nearest hell, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're introduced to the whole armor of God. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. All of it. Why? Well, because all of it's needed. And because weak areas will be our downfall. I need to say something here real quickly before we get into the body of what I'm going to say today and what I'm going to speak to you about today. But so often, I got to tell you that he makes an emphasis on the whole armor of God because we're wrestling against principalities and against powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, so put the whole armor of God on. Loins girt about with truth, taking the sword of the Spirit, praying always. One piece of armor could be your downfall. Yeah, I'm reminded of what Jesus said to Peter. He said, Peter, Satan hath desire to have you that he might sift you as wheat. I don't know if you've ever sifted wheat or seen it sifted. My grandmother used to sift it. She had a hutch that had a place where you kept the flour. And in old days, they would do that to actually get weevils out and a husk that would still be in, if left over from the grinding of the wheat. And it was just, the impurities. Satan hath desire to have you, he might sift you as wheat. You know what Satan wants? What information he wants out of your life? He wants your weak spots. He wants that thing that easily has a hold on you. Or as it says in the book of Hebrews, the sin which doth so easily beset us. Not the sins, the sin. There's something in your life that has a stronger hold on you than it has in my life. And there's something in my life that has a stronger hold on me than it does in your life. But mark my word, we've all got chinks in our armor and we've all got weak spots. And so he says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because there's an invisible enemy that is active in the affairs of men. Paul mentions it in Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, we might see the flesh and blood. I made mention of it this morning in Sunday school. I don't think that, for instance, President Biden is our problem. I think the spirit that runs him is. I don't think that Nancy Pelosi is our problem. I think the spirit that runs her is. We have a world system, clearly. You know, I remember as a kid in the 70s, being a little kid, listening to preachers talk about a one world government, a one world government, a one world government. And literally, it was scoffed as being those old religious fanatics that are just holding on to the Bible. Folks, we are there. And there is a spirit behind that. It is the spirit of Antichrist. And even though Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, was around in John's day in 1 John, we may be looking at the near introduction of him into this world if he's not already here. We live in a very treacherous time. I told him this hasn't been the best of my weeks. Nothing really happened, honestly. It wasn't like there was a problem. But I can trace it back to something, I think. I started reading more news than I need to read. The more you read the news, the more you become convinced that it's the CDC that's the problem. Or it's President Biden that's the problem. Or it's the Congress that's the problem. And then there's this really bad spirit that raises up in you where you get angry. I found myself this week chewing a liberal out in my car. It wasn't a particular liberal, it was just any liberal. They weren't in my car, but I was still giving them what for. I was calling them names. Not bad names, no, I was just calling them names, all right? As I look back on it, you know what? If we allow our sights to leave the fact that it's the principalities and powers that our battle is with, and we make our battle flesh and blood, we've lost the battle. I was thinking about this sitting there, and maybe this will be a help to you, okay? Maybe it'll be a help to you, all right? We live in a day where the family, the home, is absolutely under attack. But we also live in a day where the home is disintegrating by its own merits. It's not just the government. It's not just society. Our homes and marriages are falling apart because we're at each other's throats. We're griping about this and we're criticizing that. And I really think the reason is because our battle has become flesh and blood. What we don't see is we don't see the spirit behind it. I made reference this morning to walking meekly. Now listen carefully, walking meekly. Paul told Titus that we're to walk meekly and not to be brawlers, because once we were there too, once we were without Christ, and once we were a slave to the passions of the flesh and so on. And he says, when you forget that, he said, you start acting differently. There is a benefit in my life. Now listen carefully, listen. And so here's the husband, and he fails in some way. Rather than the wife looking at him as flesh and blood, susceptible to the temptations that are common to all men, including her, we take it personal and begin to attack. There's not a consorted, let's get before God and pray about this and get beyond this. Let me see what I'm saying. One way you're looking at it is a spiritual battle, and it's I can't believe you didn't do this, and I asked you to do this, or I can't believe you did that, and I didn't want you to do that. And it could go from the husband to the wife to the husband, and even if it involves sin, did you ever look at that individual, that wife or that husband, as, you know what? We've all got that battle, and she's fallen to it. He's fallen to it. Let's get before God and try to hedge up our home and try to hedge up our marriage. That's not normally how we view it. Normally, we're very critical. You say, why? Because I didn't do that. Well, you haven't done that, but you've done something else, yes? Yeah, but what I've done isn't as bad as that. It never is. Haven't you realized that whatever you've done, whatever I've done, is not nearly as bad as what somebody else has done? We wrestle a spiritual enemy. We wrestle against principalities and powers, and that principality and power got me in my car with an unnamed liberal. And although that sounds funny, I'm serious. I found my spirit soured. I was losing the battle. That's the point, if you would, of Daniel 10. Go over there. Let me give you the rundown of what's going on in Daniel 10. You know, Daniel was taken when Babylon took Judah. Daniel was taken with the princes of Judah and taken down to live 70 years in Babylon. Babylon was taken over by the Medes and the Persians. As a matter of fact, Cyrus the Great, mentioned chapter 10, verse 1, was the one that ran that military battle that overthrew Babylon. In chapter 10, we have a story. The principalities and powers are busy in this world, and this story tells us. Clearly, they're busy in geopolitical realm. Why do you say that? Look what it says in verse 12 and 13. Then said he unto me. Now, before we go on, do we get the idea this guy that shows up to Daniel is not just a human being? Do we all get that? I mean, he's got, his eyes are like fire, his appearance like lightning, so on and so on. This is, if you would, for lack of better terms, an angelic being. Angels in the Bible always show up as men. I'm sorry, there's no girl angels in the Bible. If that messes up your Christmas decorations, I'm sorry. But there is no woman angel. They always show up as men. This man is an angel. They're named men. Gabriel, Michael, right? Always. Well, this individual shows up and he begins to say in verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Who is this prince of the kingdom of Persia? Could I say this? Could I suggest to you it's not a human being? Because this battle is a spiritual battle in the spiritual realm. And to win, verse 13, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, that's Michael the archangel, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. There's a battle going on here, and you say, what is that king of Persia? Well, later on he says, I've got to go back to the king of Persia, but then the king of Greece, or the prince of Grecia, is going to come. Now look up here and listen. If you've never thought about this, the Bible is very clear that this world is operated by the spirit of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, Satan. And so he involves himself, if you would, with leadership. Satan bothers us, or if you would, demonic devils. They fight you, they fight me, and they are real. Fact is, if our eyes can't behold them at this point, but they are around us right now. If I understand my Bible, remember over there with Elisha, and there was an army coming against him, and his servant said, oh, Lord, there's so many of them. What are we going to do? Alas, my Lord. And he said, Lord, Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes, and there was a host of angels camped around. Please do not make the mistake of thinking that doesn't happen today. There is both good, there is both bad, and there is a spiritual warfare. And those that do not have the indwelling of the Spirit of God, those that do not have the grace of the Word of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, those that are not walking in the Spirit become subject to those. In 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, he said, there are some, and they're taken captive by Satan at his will. They're subject to it. So Satan comes along and he says, here's this tray called Doug Ray. And he goes, and mark my word, he will find the weakness. And he takes this tray called Joel Greer. And mark my word, he will find the weakness. Or he takes a tray called Elva Greer. And he will find the weakness. There is not a person in this room that doesn't have a weakness. And he's looking for it. And he's looking for it. Can I say, if I as a believer have weakness, how much more someone that has never been redeemed, does not have spiritual life, they're outside, if you would, the family of God, how much more vulnerable are they to these principalities and powers? Satan is called the prince of this world in Ephesians 2:2. He's called the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. His ministers, the Bible says, they're transformed as ministers of righteousness. That's in 2 Corinthians 11. There is not an arena in this world where Satan doesn't have his claws. And Daniel speaks to that reality. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel's trying to understand. He's trying to understand. But what's he trying to understand? Well, I understand this. It says that he's gone through the Babylonian Empire. They've already taken Judah captive, and they've ruled over Judah. Now they've been overthrown by the Medes and the Persians, because now the Medes and the Persians are ruling. And what he understood, he makes mention of, if you would, in verse 1, he says, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing. I'm trying to find where it says it, where he says he understood that 70 years, it would be 70 years. Where am I at with that? Can anybody find that? You know where that's at, brother? Back up to chapter 9 of Daniel. Chapter 9, look in verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the numbers of years whereof the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, that God would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Okay, look up here. Real fast, and I have to hurry. If I'm going to get done by noon, I got to really fly. Okay, you weren't even expecting it anyway, were you? I know. But Israel had turned wicked. They had gone after idols. They had gotten so wicked they were taking their newborn babies and burning them in the fire of Molech as a live sacrifice. God allowed the 10 northern tribes to be carried away by the Assyrians, but the Assyrian kingdom fell to Babylon, and then eventually Babylon came down and took Judah and carried Judah away, carried him down to their land. It'd be like North Korea coming in and taking us away and taking us back to North Korea. No longer do we have our homes. No longer are we in our land. We're in a strange land. That's what happened to Judah. And God was very clear by the mouth of Jeremiah that they were going to be down there 70 years. Daniel understands that. Daniel understands that. It's the third year, though, of Cyrus the Great. Now we're at 73 years. So Daniel's saying, I need understanding. Did you ever think you had something figured out and it seemed like life wasn't going that way? You ever thought you had something ironed out and all of a sudden the circumstances seemed to put it in question? There's something, and Daniel's saying, I want to understand this, and he set out to understand it. He mourned, he was troubled over it, and he fasted and prayed for three full weeks. Verse 2 of chapter 10. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks. Three full weeks. 3 full weeks would be 21 days, am I correct? Drop over, if you would, to verse 12 now. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Say the next few words. Look up here. The battle began when Daniel wanted to understand. Did you get that? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Have you ever set out to do right? There's a battle that begins. Have you ever set out to get victory over something? There's a battle that begins. Have you ever set out to have understanding of Scripture and understanding of the Lord's way in your life? There's a battle that begins. Daniel said, I was fasting for 21 days and praying. And then this angel said, you know what? I was sent to you from the first day. He said, but there was a battle raging 21 days. Why? Because as much as you want to understand, Satan wants to get in the way of it. And although I can't explain all the details of that, I know there's a battle. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And that story, you know what that story says? It wasn't all your husband. You know what that story says? It wasn't all your wife. Yet this story says it wasn't all your parents, it wasn't all the kids, or it wasn't all the employer, or it wasn't all the police officer. We could go through it. It wasn't all them. Well, I know I had a part. We're not talking about you. We're talking about the principalities and powers. And you got a battle, and I got a battle. And the battle begins when we set out to do right. The battle begins when we set out to surrender. The battle begins when we set out, if you would, for lack of better terms, to change for our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be what I used to be. I looked at that this week and I thought, you know what? This story speaks to several things within our life. You understand what I'm talking about? There's principalities and powers. They're active right now. Some of you ran into them this morning. You run into them every morning. Amen. Yeah. You ran into this morning when you got up and there just you didn't know what it was, but you didn't feel like getting ready for church. Maybe you second-guessed that. Maybe I'll go, maybe I won't go. You just ran into them. You might have ran into them this week when you got up, and for whatever reason, you just had an attitude. You ran into them. Well, I'm not trying to take the blame off of you as far as, well, it's not my fault. You know, what was it? Flip Wilson always, well, the devil made me do it. The devil. No. I think most of the time it's not the devil's fault. But on saying that, listen, I know we're flesh. You have a choice, do you not? I have a choice, do I not? Then do not eliminate your responsibility for making the wrong choice on the back of the devil. But that being said, do not ignore the fact, simply because you have a choice, that there is someone that's pushing you in the direction of a choice. I told you a long time ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, what a great illustration of that. Great illustration of this that is. Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh and he asked God 3 times, take it away. And three times God said, no, my grace is sufficient. You know what he called that thorn in the flesh? He said, it's a messenger of Satan to buffet me. What's Satan trying to do with that thorn in the flesh? Just quit. Why would God treat you like this? Why would God let you just have to live with it? You could do so much more if he'd take away the thorn in the flesh. Can you hear Satan using it? You say, why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness. And he's got this thorn in the flesh. And so the first time God took it away, he said, no, my grace is sufficient. And all of a sudden the principality says, why would he treat you like that? You gave up everything for him. You suffered the loss of everything for him. Why would he treat you like that? And that principality, to buffet him, the second time to buffet him, the third time to buffet him. And yet God said, no. No, my grace is sufficient. So while the thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan, it was always also a point in Paul's life where he would learn the grace of God. And so how many see God's using it while Satan's using it? We wrestle against principalities. And as I look at that then, and I thought about that, I thought, boy, there's several areas in my life and your life that this speaks to, and I'd like to show you some of them. I'd like to show you some of them this morning. Can you imagine Daniel? Can you imagine him? Here's a principle. When you would seek something from God, a spiritual battle begins. When you would show interest in the things of God, a spiritual battle begins. It's going to begin at that point. Here's the principle. When you would seek, I'm sorry, here's the thought. How do you think that Daniel felt? I think probably the first day, obviously he was mourning, but he put away food, he's drinking water, no pleasant bread, all that stuff. And I think the first day, I think he felt determined. Would you agree? Determined. I want to understand. I'm going to lay these things aside. I'm going to pray and fast. Have you ever prayed and fasted? Have you ever noticed how on the first day your determination seems better than the next morning when you get up? I wonder how he was doing on the third day. Maybe the second day is, well, you know, I'm not sure if I really want to understand that bad. Because normally he gets up and he has eggs and beef. They don't have bacon. They have eggs. He has this particular breakfast. He gets up and his stomach's going like that. And he's going, man. Now be honest. Have you ever given yourself to pray about something or pray and fast about something and it bothered you how short-term that carried you when it came to giving something up to pray and fast over it? It just didn't seem to be that important on the third day or fourth day. But what about the tenth day? The tenth day, it's not so much, because you can reach the point in fasting where you'd lose your hunger pains. On the tenth day, you know what he's thinking? Is there ever going to be an end to this? Will I ever have understanding? Have you ever questioned God coming through on something in your life? Have you ever questioned whether the prayers are going to work? Have you ever questioned that? No, you're not the only one that questioned it. I have scripture to at least make the argument there was someone that questioned you about it. Someone in the principalities and the powers, somewhere in the spiritual wickedness. I don't think he's ever going to give you an answer. You're going to fast for fast and fast and fast. You'll fast yourself away. It's not coming. It's not going to happen. It's not going to change. This story speaks to a few areas in our life that every one of us need to say, God, I got to work in that area. Let me show them to you. Number one, the first area it speaks to, the story speaks to endurance. Endurance. Proverbs 24:10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I'm not talking about the endurance of grace here. Because the Bible says over in 2 Corinthians 6, receive not the grace of God in vain. In other words, and it says over in Hebrews, lest any man fail of the grace of God. The grace of God never fails, but we fail of it often. And so the endurance I'm talking about here is not the endurance. Would you agree? I'm not going to really serve God, and you're not going to really serve God without His grace, without His strength. Can we agree with that? I've got to have His grace. I've got to have His strength. I agree. That being said, in some people, the determination that they have just to go through something isn't very big. I've been watching the vaccines. You see pictures of it, and here's this person getting the vaccine, and that person getting the vaccine. And the one thing that is striking me here is they're sticking the needle in the arm. And I've seen grown people that are crying while they're sticking it in their arm. And I got to tell you, I'm thinking, can you take a little something? Now, that may be me. You say, well, I hate needles. I get that. I hate root canals. You know what you have to do? You just have to go through them. You just go through it. You decide there's something to the idea of how much am I going to take. It's not an issue of the grace of God at this point. It's not an issue of God's working in your life. It's just an issue of where you've determined. Paul said this. They said, you go to Jerusalem and they're going to tie you up and they're going to persecute you, and bonds and afflictions abide in the person that goes to Jerusalem. You know what he said? He said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself that I might finish my course with joy. He wasn't saying, no, guys, I've got a complete spirit of grace that's going to be okay. No. He was ready to die, and he said that. You know what that was? That was his determination to finish for Jesus Christ. I will go through it. And there is a need amongst Christians today. Say, you know what? It's not going to be easy. It's going to tax me. There's a part of me just doesn't want to do this, but I am going to do it. Just an endurance. There was a Shockley. What was the guy's name with the Antarctica expedition back in the early 1900s? Do y'all remember anything I'm talking about? Shackelford. If you never read a book, you ought to read that book. That's an astounding book. The time that they lost their ship, they had to trek across the Antarctica. The likelihood of them surviving was so slim you would not believe, and none of them lost their life. And that doesn't mean much to you simply because you didn't read what they went through, but it was extraordinary. You know what the book was titled? Endurance. Do you know what the ship they lost was entitled or named? Endurance. And yet that ship was crushed as the ice pack squeezed in and broke it like sticks. They said it would be crushing, and you'd hear this cannon go off, and it was one of the beams that would snap, and it would give out the report. Boom! He said, and eventually we found we could no longer stay in that ship, and so they took everything off the ship, and they saw it sinking. And there in the middle of nowhere, hundreds of miles away from anywhere, in sub-freezing weather, you say, how'd they survive? It's called endurance. They endured. They endured. This story brings me you say, why? Because Daniel is fasting for 21 days. It doesn't seem like a lot. God, listen, you can give understanding right now. Why are you making me wait so long? What am I doing wrong? Have you ever asked that? God, what am I doing wrong? You're not doing what I want you to do, or you're not working how I want you to work. And I would think you said, if I ask anything according to your will, well, this is according to your will. So why isn't something happening? And so often Christians just fall out of the way because there's no endurance. I told you about the young man. He was a college student, and they were here. It was Easter Sunday, and I was talking about the amazing book that the Bible is. It's a supernatural book, and it's a living book. It's not like any other book. And I said, if you don't believe that, I said, you give up 3 months of your life to come Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, just 3 months of your entire life. And after 3 months of Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if you can look at me and say that's not a supernatural book, because you find out it's supernatural in the use of it. And he came up and he looked at me and he said, he came with a friend who was a member here. He came up and he said, I'm taking you up on that. I said, good, see you next Sunday. No, I didn't. His determination that Sunday, has anybody noticed how easy it is to want to get right at the end of a service, but it's out of your mind when you get home or you're out at the restaurant after Sunday? It seems like that endurance lacks in us. If you faint in time of adversity, your strength is small. Well, there's some things I just think you got to say, I'm going to do it. God's not going to make you read the Bible. God's not going to make you pray. God's not going to make you come to church. There's some of it we're going to say, I am going to do it. Can I tell you, that stuff goes on, and man, it's gone on in my life for years. I had such a place or a way to come. I've always had a bad habit. It is a bad habit. My wife would vouch for this. If I overcommit and underdeliver, and I got sick and tired of being an underdeliver, just overcommit and you can't get it done. I'm still working on it, but there's times I say, you know what, I'm going to do it now. Because if I don't do it now, it's just going to pile over tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to get worse. And I said I'd do it, and I just got to get it done. And everything about you wants to sit down in the evening and not do anything because you're just, but I said I'd do it, and I just got to do it. There is something about the Christian life. You're not going to go very far until you're looking and say, I just got to do it. I told you about when I got the second pastor I had after I got right with the Lord. He came in and said, I understand you're one of the preachers here. And I said, yes, I was trying to preach a few months back. He said, well, let me get settled in and straightened out. Let me get settled in and I'll go ahead and we'll take you down to the street and let you preach in the street. And I said, what? He said, preach in the street. I said, preach in the street. I said, what is preaching on the street? He said, well, you go down to the street corner, open your Bible, and you preach to the people that are walking. I said, just the strangers out there? This was preaching to me. And as soon as he said it, I looked at him. I'm thinking, okay, we're in the Bible. It's all over the Bible. I couldn't even say, well, it's not in the Bible. It's all over the place in the Bible. I didn't want to do it. You ever pray to get sick? Anyone ever tell you they put a penny under your tongue that'll give you a fever when you're a kid? Anybody try it? I did. I just think that when you put dirty money in your tongue, that's what I think, you know. But you ever done that? I'm thinking, man. There was another guy there, and I showed up that Saturday, and he said, well, Brother So-and-so said he can't make it. I thought, sorry, Brother So-and-so. And I knew I had to. I knew I had to. It was just something I was going to have to do. And I did. You know what this speaks to? If you get nothing else, can I tell you why you struggle at the Christian life? At least one possibility is you just don't have a whole lot of self-gumption about you. Why don't you just learn to kick yourself in the rear end? Well, preacher, in this area, in every area, every night I go up, and I don't. This is not every, my wife will vouch for this. This is not every morning, but I've always been a procrastinator. Oh man, yeah. Well, I've tried to work on it. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, you get the prize for being here today, right there. Yes, sir. I've always been a procrastinator. Just put it off. I'll do it tomorrow. You know, my son has a shirt that I have two shirts. One I would like to have. The one I've got is I identify as vaccinated. I've got that shirt, and I like that shirt. The other one that I would like to have is Procrastinators of the World Unite tomorrow. I like that. That's probably true, all right, about me. And so I go up in the evening, and I'll get a glass of ice water, you know, and I'll take it up there, and I'll set it down on my nightstand, so if I get thirsty, then I can just get up and drink water. And typically, I don't even drink it. It's just there if I need it, and I get up and in the morning, and more than one time, I've started walking. Many times, I don't even think about it, but I look at it and say, oh, does anybody here, you ever had a collection of glasses on your nightstand? Yeah. And I can't say it's been a collection, but I'll end up having two up there because I didn't take the last one down. And I thought, you know why I didn't take that? Does anybody here, your car ever get dirty? I mean, with just junk that you don't take out of it? Do you realize how little time it takes to take that out of it? But no, I don't have the time. You don't have 30 seconds? That's procrastination. And in my life, I thought, you know, I got to beat this. And more than one time, I'll think, oh, there it is. Well, I'll get it later. And the Spirit of God will say, yeah, you always say that. What I'm saying is, I'm saying there's not an area of your life where you don't have to sit back and say, I need to have some endurance in this thing. I need to have some self-control in this thing, some self-discipline in this thing. I spent more time on that than I should have, I suppose. But I will tell you this. It's the reason why that's one reason why people don't read their Bible every day. I've started to. I don't care what you started to do. Why aren't you doing it now? Some have endurance enough to get through 2 days, some 3 days, some 1 day, maybe somebody 2 weeks. But you can't get to the point to where, you know what, it's getting a little bit easier on this. You got to climb the mountain before the downside is the easy side. It speaks to that. I'll tell you what else it speaks to. It speaks to delay. Waiting is the most wearying thing that we do. Endurance is a test, is tested by delay. Proverbs 13 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Saul couldn't wait when Samuel was late, and so he sinned. Why? Because he just couldn't wait. Waiting on God is one of the most important aspects. I have to wait on Him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, but it may be about the time you believe you have none. You just got to learn to wait on Him. Wait on God. It speaks. It speaks to endurance. It speaks to delay. The Bible tells us about Simeon, who had grown old waiting for the consolation of Israel, but he was there when Christ was brought in, 8 days old. Anna, who didn't depart from the temple, but served God in fastings and prayer night and day. She was 80 years old, and she looked for the redemption of Jerusalem, and she didn't give up looking. I think to myself sometimes on Sundays, why are we doing this? You know why we're doing this? You know why we show up every Sunday? Because we're waiting on someone. Do you understand that's why? We're waiting on someone, and to wait on them and to wait on Him, I need to be encouraged and you need to be encouraged and I need to be edified and you need to be edified. But it really comes down to the fact that there's someone that saved us and He said He's going to come and get us and we're waiting on Him. We're not waiting on 2022. We're not waiting on election 2024. We're waiting on Jesus Christ. And when I quit waiting on Him, when that fundamental element of my Christian life, looking for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when I lose that in my life, I begin to question why I do what I do. Why do we take an hour out at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning? Why do we take an hour and a half out on 11 o'clock on Sunday morning? Why do we come back at 6 o'clock? Don't we have better things to do? No. There's nothing better than being edified and encouraged to stay at it until Jesus comes. But He's delayed. Seems like it. I remember at 1970, I was taken up to Dayton Baptist Temple. Jack Van Impe was the preacher. He made this statement. He said, I do not see how that the coming of the Lord cannot extend much past 1975. And 1970, 1971, 1972, 1973, 1974, every one of those years as a kid, I was thinking, New Year's, I was thinking, okay, here it is. We're in 2021. And some are going to say, they're scoffers. Things have continued from the beginning. Where is the promise of His coming? Delay affects endurance. You get tired of it. It was Demas that said, you know, I might as well just get, here I am spending my life going around with this preacher Paul, serving him, living really kind of as a pauper, and just because someday we believe Jesus is going to come back, I'm losing opportunity here to enjoy this life. I'm losing opportunity to make my own. And he departed having loved this present world. It speaks to endurance. It speaks to delay. I'll tell you something else it speaks to, though, and this is the big one. I only got a couple of more. It speaks to desire. Daniel apparently wanted understanding real bad. Do you miss a meal? I have a child, and he has got three times on the clock. It is breakfast time, lunch time, and dinner time. You think I'm kidding? He'll look at me, he said, don't you? He'll look at me, he'll say, is it p.m.? Because p.m., it's lunchtime. That's it, all right? And I don't care, if it gets to be p.m., he didn't have lunch. At 3, it's still lunchtime. At 4, it's still lunchtime. We do not move on to dinner until lunchtime is done. That's the deal right there, buddy. Yeah. Well, the fact is, though, all of us, that gut rules us. You know what the Bible says, and you maybe never saw this, but in Philippians, when Paul's warning about carnal Christians, he said, whose God is their belly. I mean, we live to eat. We don't eat to live. You ever seen some of those cooking shows? They'll cut it into the... Well, it's a little off balance. It needs a little... I'm tasting this in it. Well, put you in the Sahara, and I bet you'll eat almost anything and don't question how it tastes. You know what? I told my wife, I said, we're not going to spray the yard anymore. We never sprayed a whole lot, but I'm not going to spray it. We have a good, healthy crop of dandelions, and if things continue on, I might need to eat those. Who knows? I could harvest them and sell them to the neighbors. Amen. Dandelion, you can eat the flowers too. Yes. Wouldn't it be, I mean, you're trying to kill them. Wouldn't it be satisfactory to eat them? Or get them, I mean, I cannot imagine a more reward than there you go and just eat the suckers. Amen. The fact is Daniel must have badly wanted this understanding. 21 days with no promise that it wouldn't turn into 22 or 23 or 24. And he gave not himself the pleasant bread. He drank no wine. He's drinking water. And he is fasting. And he's praying. And he's mourning. When's the last time that you wanted to understand something about the Bible that bad? I'm convinced that is the reason why that we succumb so easily to principalities and power. It does speak to endurance and it does speak to delay, but it speaks to desire. Desire. 21 days, he said, I went and he had no idea what was going on in the spirit realm. Do you understand that? He had no idea the battle was going on. He didn't know that this angel, whatever his name was battling with the prince of Persia and that Michael had to come. He didn't know that was going on. All he knew is what he knew here. And all he knew is he wanted understanding. Can I ask you a question? What is it you want? What do you want? Desire. You know what desire is? Desire is your strength. It's part of your strength. Desire is. Are we all right this morning? Would you say amen or grunt or something, okay? Desire is your strength. I'm going to tell you the story for the sake of time. You know the story. Remember Gideon? Gideon is hiding and he's threshing wheat, but he's hiding from the Midianites, hiding from them. The angel of the Lord shows up and says, calls him mighty man of valor, hiding, mighty man of valor. In that conversation, and he says, if I'm a mighty man of valor and the Lord is with us, then why is it thus? Why am I having to hide from the enemy to grind the wheat? And he said this, don't miss this, it's one of the greatest points of that entire passage. And he said, and where be all the miracles that our fathers told us of? You know what the angel said? Go in this thy might. You know what his might was? Where be all the miracles? Elijah's taken up and his mantle falls and Elisha picks it up. Maybe you didn't connect the two, but the first thing the old man did was went over to the Jordan and he smote it with the mantle and he said, where be the Lord God of Elijah? Where be the Lord God of... Where be all the miracles? Can I ask you the most sobering question anybody could ask a Christian? Are you satisfied with the filling of the Spirit that you have? Are you satisfied with the work of God in your life? You know, we do eat, live to eat. We do live to eat. And I have to tell you something. How many of you have heard these? Well, that's a first world problem. You ever heard that? You know, they didn't, you know, my chicken crust isn't nearly as crusty as it should be. That's a first world problem. And I have an answer to that. Well, you charge me first world prices. If you'll charge me third world prices, I won't gripe about first world problems. But I have to tell you something. I have ran across some foods, man, they were so good. Has anybody gone beyond what you should have? Don't even. We all have. You say, why? It wasn't that you needed it. You wanted it. Have you ever said with David, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I believe where we're lacking in the Christian life, this is the key. The Bible says this. The Bible says in Psalms 1, it says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He didn't say his determination. He didn't say his dedication. He said his delight. I can be determined in something I don't really delight in. I can even be dedicated to something I'm not really delighted in. He said it wasn't that he was determined to read through his Bible. He delighted in it. It wasn't that he was dedicated to read through his Bible or pray. He delighted in it. And have you ever said, God, something's wrong with my delight. It was wrong with Demas' delight. You see, that's where we have to get back to. We always talk about what I do and what I don't do. Let's get to the heart of the issue. What I delight in, what I don't delight in. What I try to pretend I delight in when I really don't. What I delight in that I shouldn't. The things that I delight in, the things you delight in that are something other than him. Where do they range? Is he here and here they come in down here? Or is there a battle of warfare going on? Daniel said, he didn't say, God, I'm going to fast for 21 days and I want you to come through. No, he just said, I'm start fasting. It's open-ended. Daniel, you done fasting? No. It's been 10 days. I know, but I can't tell you how badly. I remember years ago, there was a man, a young man in the church. He heard my testimony about getting down over there in Goshen and opening the Bible up and wanting so badly. I mean, I can't tell you. I wanted so badly. I heard preachers say, God speaks to you out of this book, and he'd never spoke to me as far as I knew. I didn't know what that was. I just know there was something more than what I had had. I wanted that. And I sat down and Sonia remembers, and I'm reading that and reading that. And you know the story. After 2 weeks of reading the Bible, he heard testimony. He went back home. He said, I'm going to start reading my Bible. Start reading his Bible. And he came back and he said this. He said this to me. He said, preacher, he said, I've read for 2 weeks. And I said, I haven't gotten anything. And I remember I looked at him and I said, can I tell you something? I said, I don't know how badly you want. I said, but you have no idea how badly I wanted it. There was nothing else in life I wanted more than that. There was nothing else in life I needed more than that. You know what this story, principalities and powers, are they messing with you? Are they wearying you? Are you struggling with the depression or the depressed spirit that are they pushing? Have they shook it and they found out you're impurities? And man, you just get so tired of doing the battle. You get so tired of confessing. You get so tired of failing. Anybody? You get so tired. And when you get tired of failure, the very ones that have orchestrated the failure in your life come up and say, yeah, that's right. What's the use? And what they're out to do is they're out to make you feel like that quitting would be better than what you desire. I understand this. A lot of people will not. It's an awful thing, but there's a point you can get to where a man or a woman desires death. They shouldn't. But there's a point you get to where you desire death. What a depressed, what a sad state. He's there and he's praying, and all he wants is understanding. He said, but you don't know, there's a battle and a warfare going on in heaven. A battle and a warfare going on in heaven. I'm not going to go any further. I just want to stop here and ask you, what do you desire? Teenagers desire friends. I'm not saying other people don't desire friends, but you know what? I don't know that friends ought to be what you should desire to be a friend. But the Bible never tells you to have friends. It says be one. And if what you want is to have friends, you'll do what you have to have friends because that's what you desire. If you desire popularity, Satan, as he's sifting, he says, oh, look, see, I see one of the husks that is a weakness. He enjoys the praise of people. I can use that. Oh, I see, look, she enjoys attention. I can use that. What is it you desire? Because the fact is your desire is going to keep you going. And I can tell you this, I've thought about this many, many times, because I got saved at 6, I got right with the Lord at 20 years old, around 24, or no, 27. I came here to pastor, and I've been here pastoring ever since. I don't necessarily think that I've done the best. Matter of fact, the job I've done has probably been my biggest Achilles heel when it comes to Satan beating me up. That's a fact. You say, then what keeps you in it? You've. I don't know if you've ever heard that poem by Rudyard Kipling, If. But he says, when there's nothing in you except the will to stand. And I thought to myself, I said, it's not that I've done, I can look back with all these trophies and all these things that I've done well. What is it? And I can tell you I can really tell you at least part of what it is with me. I just don't want to quit. I just don't want to quit. Sometimes it could be so easy. Sometimes it could be so tempting. But when I get done, if I haven't done anything else, I want to look at the Lord and say, I crossed the line. I want to say I finished my course. 21 days and Daniel didn't quit. 21 days and he had no idea why there was no answer, and he had no idea that there was a spiritual battle going on. And do you have any idea that in your home, in your marriage, with you and your kids, with you and your work, with you in the church, has it ever occurred to you that there is a warfare going on? And maybe you're getting weary because you're looking at this one and that flesh and blood and that flesh and blood, and you think that's your problem. That's not your problem. Your problem is the principalities and powers. And it speaks to my determination. It speaks to my endurance. And it speaks to delay in my life, but it also speaks to desire. My question to you is this morning, what do you desire? When I get to heaven, I really, at least in some area of my life, I want to hear him say, well done. I want that. I really want that. But I'll never see that unless it boils down into every day I do what he wants me to do. That starts with my Bible. That starts with prayer. It starts with being a witness. It starts with keeping myself right and walking in the Spirit, all those things. But that desire, I want him to say, well done. I really do. I want him to look and say, I want this, and this is carnal, forgive me, okay? But wouldn't it be nice to have Lord Jesus say, Joel Greer, front and center. All right, now to all the hosts, I want you to hear me. I said 3 times in the New Testament, I said by the mouth of the writers, I said, feed the flock. I said, take serious and study to show thyself approved unto God and feed the flock. I want to say that this servant fed the flock. I want that. What do you desire? Because your endurance will only last to the level of your desire. Well, I sure would like to. I'm not talking about liking to. Job said, I have considered thy words above my necessary food. You know what that is? That's not just it'd be nice, and I want to keep my nose clean, stuff like that. No, what do you do? I desire someday, for at some level, some small level, I desire the Lord Jesus to say, well done. And I've got to realize in this life, when I battle with my Bible, or I battle with a bad spirit, or I battle with prayer, or I battle with whatever I battle, God help me to remember that it's not flesh and blood. There's a battle going on I can't see. And that battle's messing with me right now. I'm getting weary. I wish that battle would stop because I'm getting weary. And maybe you're weary in the battle this morning. Maybe you've been reminded this morning that it's not the husband, not the wife, not the kids, not the parents, not the preacher, not the church member. It's It's principalities. There's a battle going on in the spirit realm, and what it wants you to quit. Bow our heads, please.